You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. This is another installment of our Blessed and Bossed Up book club pick. We are reading, for those who don't know, we are reading Leadership as an Identity, the four traits of those who wield lasting influence. And this book is written by Crawford W. Loritz. Now, if you haven't listened to the last few episodes, this episode is going to be on chapter 3. Go back and listen. This book is fantastic. You could also click the link in the show notes to grab your copy and read along with us. We're going to get up to chapter 6 or 7 before our winter break. The podcast is going to take a break in December. There will still be rerun episodes going on, but there won't be any new content until January. Your girl needs a little bit of a break. I need to rest, spend some time with my family, rest my mind, rest my voice. For sure. And then we'll start fresh in the new year, celebrating 8 whole entire years of this podcast. I'll save the mushy stuff for then. But yes, make sure you grab this book if you want to read it. Today, we're going to be picking up with chapter 3, which is called Surrendering to God. I don't think I've mentioned this, but a feature that I really like in the book is that he starts each chapter off with a scripture and a quote. And then he ends each chapter with some anecdotes that are relevant to leadership and what specifically what the chapter is about from different people, different Christian leaders that he has relationships with. So I think those are like some cool little extra features of the book that you can enjoy if you get it. I really like this quote that he has in the beginning. It says, "It is wonderful what God can do with a broken heart if he gets all the pieces." And he says this is attributed to Samuel Chadwick. It is wonderful what God can do with a broken heart if he gets all the pieces. Something about that just really struck me because, you know, last week we talked a lot about brokenness. And so the point of now following that up with surrendering is that brokenness brings you to a place where you have to be surrendered to God. He starts the chapter off by saying, God delights in surrender. It is a foundational, fundamental principle of the Christian life. In fact, you can't truly be a Christian without surrender. Turning from your sin and self-reliance and putting your trust in Christ for his love and forgiveness is a profound act of surrender. And God wants you to keep turning from yourself and continually be turning over to him all that you are and all that he has placed in your hands to work with. He then introduces Romans 12, 1 and 2 and emphasize something that I don't believe is emphasized enough when discussing this scripture. Romans 12, starting at verse 1, I'm going to read it out the NLT. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." He says, notice that your ability to discern God's will is directly related to presenting your body as a living sacrifice. But it's also important to note that you don't surrender to him just because you want insights on what his will is. You surrender primarily because he has been merciful. As an act of worship driven by gratitude, you give your life to him. He then gives you the ability to know what he wants to do through your life. Your very life has been sacrificed to God to do whatever he wants to do. I love that he emphasized this because when I usually think about Romans 12 and 1 and 2, I automatically think, you know, don't conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think about presenting my body as a living sacrifice. This pattern is something that I don't think has been highlighted to me, whether it's somebody else communicating to me or even me studying this myself. I don't think I ever picked up on this formula. And in case you missed it, I want to emphasize what it says. So going down, well, let's start at verse one, because this is a part of it. So verse 1 tells us, give our bodies to God because of all he's done for us. So step 1 is to surrender to the Lord. Let our bodies be living and holy sacrifices, not so we can get something from him, not so we can manipulate him into doing anything, but as a response to his grace. Because we're saved by grace, not by works. So the least that we can do to respond to his mercy, to his grace, is to surrender and submit ourselves to him. Because the text tells us this is truly the way to worship him. In comes verse 2, step 2, more instructions. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. So in this surrender, we are also, and in this submitting ourselves to be transformed and submitting our bodies as a living sacrifice, we're also allowing the Lord to transform us into a new person. Then, meaning after you do this, then, so step 3 is you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So in order for you to know God's will for you, you have to live a life that is surrendered to him, that's sacrificed to him, and that is a vessel that is willing to be transformed by him. It is only after that that you will be able to accurately learn what his will for you is. I did an episode some years ago called Don't Put the Cart Before the Horse, because I was getting a lot of questions from people about, well, how do I know if this is a God idea in reference to business? How do I know if this is a God idea or a me idea? How do I know that God is moving me in this season? How can I discern what season God has me in? We're always trying to skip past the first 2 steps to get to the last one. We want to skip past the surrender and get straight to the knowing his will for us, knowing what he has for us to do, knowing what his instructions are. But that's not how this works. It's understandable why we want to skip the surrender and the offering our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. It's understandable why we don't want to let God transform us. It's understandable why we would prefer to do things the world's way versus God's. I can understand that in my humanity, because God's way comes with suffering. It comes with a level of mystery. It can be tough. It can be scary. It can be isolating sometimes. It could put you in such an uncomfortable state of vulnerability. All of what God does through us and how he transforms us is different. It's specific to our individual needs. The same way as parents, if you have multiple kids, you parent some kids differently because some just need different things than the others. The Lord does the same for us. So I understand. And I want to meet you at your humanity with my humanity to say, I understand if you don't want to take the time and the discomfort to go through that surrendering and that what that will look like for you. But I'm telling you that you have to do that in order for you to accurately know God's will for you. And I'm so glad that he emphasized that here, because again, I've read this text so many different times, but I didn't see it in that formula until he pointed it out here in the book. And you know what this made me think about? There's this trend right now called the winter arc. And I had to look that up because I saw it on like TikTok or something. And I was like, what is a winter arc? I've never heard of that before. So I looked it up. And so winter arc is a 90-day challenge that people are doing in the fourth quarter, where people are using the last 3 months of the year to focus on like personal development, health, and fitness goals. So as I was reading this, and of course, I'm thinking about Q4, I'm thinking about us going into a new year. And I was like, man, what if as Christians, we adopted this winter arc challenge and applied this Romans 12, 1 and 2 formula to it? Now, it's actually quite opposite of what the winter arc challenge is, simply because it's about, the challenge is about like productivity and pushing through the last 90 days of the year. And that's not what I'm saying here. But what I'm saying is, what if we took the rest of the year and focused on surrendering our bodies as a living sacrifice? What if we focus the rest of the year on just surrendering to the Lord and being open to whatever process that looks like, whatever transformation looks like, just fully embracing it and walking into it fully, and then just seeing what happens after that? Let's just see. Tell me if you're going to take this challenge. Spend the rest of the year totally focused on surrendering and sacrificing to the Lord. And this could look, just to give you some ideas, because this is just a thought that I have. Maybe we can do this together at some point, but this is a thought that I have. And I just want to put the idea out there in case this resonates with anyone. And because I feel like for some people, this is an answered prayer. And so just to throw some things out there, what that might look like. Every day, commit to holiness. So make conscious choices about what you watch. So maybe sacrificing secular television shows and only watching things that are glorifying to the Lord. So watching The Chosen versus Real Housewives of Potomac, or paying attention to what you eat. Eating, now this is going to be kind of hard with the holidays coming up, but it doesn't have to be. There are so many healthy foods that are delicious, but even with the things that you eat, so prioritizing eating well, prioritizing exercising, prioritizing rest. You can be mindful of servicing other people. So using your talent, your time, find with different organizations that you can donate to. Maybe you can feed the homeless. You could serve in your church, whatever the case may be. And around this time, the holidays, there are so many opportunities to serve and to give back to those who are in need. And so finding those different opportunities to do that, and not just giving money, but giving time, really showing up and helping people and serving people in new ways. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed. right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. You could also limit your worldly influences. So getting off of social media, taking a step back from different YouTube videos you watch or maybe entertainment-based podcasts that you may listen to. So just setting some boundaries with the worldly things that you consume. And then, of course, consistently being in your word, listening to the Bible. Maybe instead of listening to music, you go to Romans and you just hit play in the Bible app and let it play. Or you download apps like Dwell and Abide that have these different devotionals and different things that you can do to get into the word. So there's so many things that you can take away. There's so many sacrifices that you can make in your day-to-day life over the next however many weeks. And there are so many things that you can add to make sure that you're close to the Lord. Maybe you and a friend are going to implement a prayer call, or you in a group start doing some Bible studies. These are just some ideas to get your wheels turning. But I believe that there are some of you who I just don't want you to go into 2025 with the same habits that you've had this year. I don't want you to go into a new year putting the cart before the horse, where you're trying to figure out how to discern God's will, but you're not living a life that is holy and that is set apart and that is surrendered to Him. And this is just a challenge, an idea to help you build up those spiritual muscles. And so, again, I pray that if that's an answered prayer for you, that you receive it, that you implement it, because I believe that it's going to be a blessing to you. And I believe it's going to really get you to the clarity that you're looking for, the wisdom that you're looking for, the creativity that you're looking for, the ideas. Man, there's so much that comes when you live a life that is consecrated, meaning set apart, a life where you are dedicated to surrendering to the Lord, where you are committed to abiding in Him, where you're committed to studying the word, to spending time in prayer. I'm telling you guys, the creativity, the ideas, there's so much that comes from that. In addition to God transforming us and how hard that can be and all of that, but there's so much wisdom that comes from being in consistent communication and connection to the Father. And so I just want to give you some ideas to help you do that so that you can be the type of leader that the book is trying to, or the author of the book is trying to get us all to be. All right, so let's dive back into these pages. The next section, he talks a bit about leaders who stop following. He says, effective leadership, effective Christian leadership is sustained by surrender. When a Christian leader stops yielding to God, he or she has ceased to be a Christian leader. It is really quite simple. When a leader gets to a point which he or she trusts more in skills, abilities, or experiences to accomplish God's assignments, then he has just walked away from the place of God's blessing and His enabling power. This was so good. He said, Dr. Joseph Stout, an outstanding Christian leader, served for many years as the president of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. Joe is a dear friend, and recently we were ministering together at a pastor's conference. As he addressed these leaders, I heard him say something that was so very simple, yet so profound. He said, leaders fall when they stop following. Think about that. When a leader shifts his focus from dependently following Christ and begins to think that it is his vision, his idea, and his mission that must be advanced, then he ceases to be God's leader. And frankly, it's dangerous to follow such a person. At this point, there is nothing supernatural about what he does. He is merely a strong personality who can get things done by force of his will. He may try to camouflage it with a few Bible verses and Christian cliches, but pride and self-determination are what drive him. And this, in turn, affects the organization or ministry. How many leaders have you seen in your own life where they started off so anointed, so powerful, and you just could see God's hand in everything that they did? Like, you could only attribute their success to the Lord. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, this has to be God. And then once they reach that level of success, something changes. They get arrogant. They get big-headed. They start to act as if, even though they're still saying all the quote-unquote right things, they're still quoting scriptures. They're still having these churchy lingos or Christian cliches, as the author says. They still have all of the pieces and the aesthetics of somebody who is godly, but the hand of God clearly isn't on them. That is a sign that somewhere that leader went from being surrendered to self-reliant. I feel like we've all seen it, whether it be in our day-to-day life, in ministries you may be involved in, or even online ministries that you may have followed for a long time, where you can notice that shift. And it is such a dangerous place to be in. But to be honest, we're all vulnerable to doing the exact same thing. Without surrender, we will end up in the exact same place. Self-reliant, big-headed, worried about our vision, our will, our goals, and not the Lord's. And so I believe that's why he says that brokenness is a trait of a Christian leader, because we have to always have that position where we are desperate for the Lord, where we are dependent completely on the Lord. The second we start thinking we whole is the second that we start getting off. In the book, he gives the perfect example from scripture with King Uzziah. To give you a quick overview of who he is, King Uzziah, also known as Azariah, was one of the kings of Judah. His story can be found in 2 Chronicles 26. Write this down so you can study it. That's your homework today. 2 Chronicles 26 and 2 Kings 15. His reign is notable in particular for its mixture of success, pride, and then eventually his downfall. So Uzziah became the king at the age of 16 after the death of his father. He reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years, which is one of the longest reigns of any king in Judah. Early in his reign, he was faithful to God. He sought guidance from the prophet Zechariah, so he had wise counsel. And because of this, God blessed him, and his reign was marked by some pretty significant achievements. He led successful campaigns against the Philistines, the Arabs, the Ammonites, which expanded Judah's territory and strengthened its defenses. He built towers in Jerusalem and fortified the city. And he also promoted farming, and which brought a lot of economic prosperity to Judah. So he was very successful in his reign. But despite that, his story then takes a turn because of pride. He lost that surrender. As his fame and his power grew, he became very arrogant, and he overstepped his boundaries because he went to try to perform a task that was reserved only for priests. So he went into the temple to burn incense at the altar, and that's a duty that was strictly reserved for priests that were descended from Aaron. So long story short, he wasn't supposed to do that. So when he was confronted by the other priests, instead of humbling himself, instead of repenting to the Lord, he doubled down, became angry, and went off on them. So his pride led him to the point where he had to face God's judgment. And so the Lord judged him by having leprosy break out on his forehead. And he lived the rest of his life isolated, cut off from the temple and public life because of his leprosies. That was considered to be very unclean in the Old Testament. So you were isolated. And this fame, this notoriety, this influence that he once had, he lost it because of his own pride. And so that's just an overview. I wanted you to understand the totality of his story so that we can then contextualize some of these lessons that the author is bringing out here in the book. The author points out three major lessons from Uzziah's life. He said, first, Uzziah stopped seeking God when he became strong. God wants you to always remember that you are being carried by him each step of the way. Always yield and surrender to him because you know how easily your flesh can deceive you. If you don't surrender your accomplishments and successes to him as an act of worship and thanksgiving, you will foolishly conclude that what has been accomplished is all because of your abilities. I thought this point was really important that he said. He said, it's usually a very gradual thing. With a few successes and victories, you begin to lose the awe and the wonder of God's blessing. Praise and thanksgiving slowly give way to the celebration of strategies and principles and the person at the center of success. God fades from the foreground to the backdrop. This is what happened with King Uzziah, and this is exactly what can happen with us if we are not intentional about staying surrendered. He said the second lesson is because Uzziah stopped seeking God, he no longer surrendered his heart as well as the successes back to God as a statement of recognition that it is always only about him. His head got big and he lost perspective. Humility is an intentional thing. It is a decision, a choice. When you fail to intentionally humble yourself, pride will overtake you. It's just a matter of time. The third lesson, he said, in his pride, Uzziah reached beyond the roles and responsibility which God had called him. Uzziah was called to be the king, but he was not called to be a priest. Remember, I said he went and made that sacrifice. He apparently thought that since he was so eminently successful, he had the right to do almost anything that he wanted to do. So he entered the temple of the Lord and burned incense on the altar. But this was the domain of the priest, and Uzziah knew better. He says King Uzziah positioned himself for a hard, devastating fall, and that's exactly what happened. He allowed the lethal cocktail of consistent success and unchecked pride to push him past the point of no return. God's judgment was swift, tragic, and final. So moral of the story here, stay surrendered. Don't be like King Uzziah. I also think that it's a good homework assignment, especially if you're going to do this little winter arc idea I threw out there, a good homework assignment to read his story, to go to 2 Chronicles 26 and read the whole chapter and read it not just to criticize his life, but to look at the similarities in his behavior and your own. Look at the similarities to how we can have these same tendencies to be prideful, how we can have the same tendencies to fall off, to not be as consistent with our surrender, to not be consistent with prayer, to not be consistent with seeking our wise counsel, to not be consistent with sitting before the Father. Our consistency issues can turn into pride issues really, really quickly. Our consistency issues can compromise our Christian leadership if we are not intentional. So again, homework is to go read 2 Chronicles 26. Study it and see what the Lord reveals to you. I'm going to end things here. That's it for another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.